come charging out of the gates and sometimes fizzle in the third. You've almost flipped that over. You've outscored your opponent 6-2 in the third period so far this year. What do you chalk that up to?
Too small a sample to make conclusions, really. We've been good in two of our first periods, and then in two of them weren't great in the Island. It's tough to judge the Boston starts the first period of the season, so we just kind of throw that one out. So we're all right out. You play differently, hopefully smarter with the lead. Having the lead, you're able to just stay with your game a little bit more. You don't have to open your game up as much, so that's been good for the third periods, I guess. They'll be difficult, and I understand it. We've been gone for a week, played four games. You want assessments on how we play, and I get that. I'll just give you a blanket. I don't know yet. It's too early for me to tell you. I can talk about the individual games and what we saw, but I wouldn't draw any defining characteristics about our hockey team because of four games.
Last year, both you and Blake Wheeler had said to me at times when I'd asked the question, sometimes the best way to hold the lead isn't necessarily to keep the other team from scoring, but to go out and to get that next one. And you had both talked about how that missed sometimes last year. You've been doing that so far this year. Have you taken any steps to, I don't know, mentally prepare the team to take that step?
No. So we would have the same attitude at 2-1. We're looking for number three. The sitting back would not be good for any team. We're not built to do it. We've added three different concepts to our game this year. So we are trying to continue to solidify the things, the structure from last year. So there haven't been any changes. We've added three things that we're talking about that we didn't spend a lot of time talking about last year. They're kind of offensive components. We're okay at it. We're scoring some goals, but we've given up 2 3-on-1 goals in the last two games. That's usually a sign there's something slightly not in step. But we'll get better at it. We're adding these things not for the weekend. We're adding them for the year. We just need to get better at them as we go.
How much coaching can you do in 3-on-3? One coach told me you coach for the first shift, but as soon as you change guys, it's hard to have a plan after that first line change.
We are trying to develop our plan. Watch all of the 3-on-3s to see what is repeatable. And we talk about it with the players, and then they are on board with what we're trying to do. So simple rules and good players will be the key to 3-on-3. Pretty much everybody in the league is going to be able to put good players on the ice for their 3-on-3. Having them recognize those simple rules and exploit them. There'll be some basic rules the coaches put in. There's just too much ice for the coaches in a lot of ways to manipulate the game.
Speaking of some guys in the American League who had all last year to play with it, they kind of, after a while, threw their hands up. It's very difficult to do what you just said.
Right. And more so here. Because in the American Hockey League, the first level of high-end talent's in the NHL, right? Then there's a level of very good players, and then there's a lot of guys fighting for that fourth-line job, the role players, so there's not the depth of skill in the American League on most teams that there is in the NHL. So you get to a bit more of a grind mentality, a 2D, 1 forward, hold, put your good players out. You know, here, there's going to be 9 guys off the bench that can score.
That extra ice that you have to give guys at that point in time, is there anything you can do strategically during the game, or do you do that when you build your roster by having maybe a guy on your fourth line that can play in 3-on-3?
So your fourth line is either going to buy time off for your 3-on-3 guys to stay fresher during the 5-on-5 portion of the game, so you'll have 3 guys to kill penalties, you'll have guys that are probably more veteran that can grind for you during the game, and then you keep your top end fresh, or you got a guy that can come off your fourth line and play in those roles, you know. And the advantage is always to the deeper team, because the deeper team won't run their top end quite as hard to get to overtime, right? The deeper team is going to have 5 extra points in the bank, and that game in January isn't quite the must-win game it is for the team that's a little bit thinner, who's damn well got to get that point, so they've got to run their top end. So they're, you know, those are all the advantages of having deeper hockey teams.
Any update on Ben Chiarot?
Still day to day. Hopefully put him on the ice tomorrow, but this is, we don't think it's long term. Should be all right soon. Probably pretty similar lineup to New York.
Coach, you said you weren't making any judgments yet. Does that include the penalties you've taken in the first four games?
No, we had a chat about that. You know, I'm surprised at the number, to be honest with you. I do find that early in the year, and we're drawing some too, so that's okay. Our power play is rolling a little bit, so the game's always called a little bit more tight early in the year. Played our best game, though. This is just not going to come out right. I got to live with the penalties that we took against the Rangers because they were part of a compete package that we understood as who we are as a team. The penalties that we took against the Islanders were not acceptable. Whether you like them or not, whether you can say, you know, sometimes I look at them and I'm trying to find the penalty, but I can find another one that didn't get called. Like over the whole spectrum of the game, you get away with stuff and you get called stuff. So we're not yelling at the refs. This is not a complaint. But the penalties that we took in the island were not part of a compete package that was helping us win the game.
Do you think the games have been called tighter at the start of the season?
I think they always have. They got excited referees. They're going out there. They've just come off the rule book and their camps, and they're catching it all, man. No, they're not. They haven't been flying all over the country. It's just they're no different than players. You know, the tolerances get built up. They get a feel for it when they're early on. They're seeing everything. After a while, they get a little. If they called everything by the book, we'd never get through a game. We'd all still be playing game one here. So they get into their groove too.
So you have a start of a homestand here tomorrow night, and it's six games. It's quite long, but after that, you'll go to some time into end of January or early February before your home and road numbers will have sort of evened up again. That's a long time to have that imbalance. I mean, you're at 0-4 right now in terms of home road. How much pressure does that put on you and your team, if you could maybe address both of those separately?
It's only a concern if you have a real problem in one building or the other. Like if you're struggling on the road, you know that hurt, that works against you. We kind of found our identity, I thought, in November on the road. We're not getting an easy schedule here, you know. So I've took last year's schedule very personally, and this year's schedule realized this is life here. It's also life for a lot of the Western Conference teams, and it's not personal. They're not out to get us. It's just, you know, I was reading an article last year about a team in the East who has a really nice schedule that they were, I don't know, this was in November, or maybe not, it was later than that, it was January. They had one more trip outside their time zone. But we've got five different time zones in five consecutive games during our schedule. So that's what it is. I haven't been here that long, but always felt very comfortable on the road with this team because they talk to each other on the bench. There's, you know, it's not a quiet place. The road's not like it used to be. The buildings aren't quite as intimidating as they used to be. You don't get last change, which is a bit of an issue, but I liked their team on the road last year, so I'm not looking at that as a real problem.
Just an extension of Tim's question.
You're not getting much of a chance here today. You got to...
Just based on the idea that it's, no doubt. Sorry, Paul. Just an extension of Tim. The idea of looking at a team like Nashville last season and how they were able to come out of the gate incredibly hot and were able to, in some ways, play mediocre hockey later on in the season and still kind of keep position there. Yeah. Is not that you want to look ahead of each game coming over, but do you mix that in with your message about the possibility of having this six-game homestand?
Never. So we were Calgary, right? Same as last year. Coming to town, chance to be 4-1 instead of 1-4. But would you take 4-1 and not have, you know, the other 77 games the way you did? You can't know that. You can't plan for it. There's nothing in your first four games to tell you anything about what you will look like 2 months from now. I mean, that's, everybody wants a predictor. we had a great camp. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. You know, we had a great run last year in the playoffs. I'm talking about those teams that did. We were one game away. That's always my favorite. We were right there. Doesn't matter. What we did this week won't tell us where we're going to be in 2 months. So we handle today. Come to that game tomorrow, work our butts off, handle that day, and then we just move on to the next game, which is a cliche, but it's the only, in my mind, right way to handle the National Hockey League. Full contact, 82-game sport. There isn't anything like that in the world, that they play as hard, that can suffer the injuries that they can. You saw it last year with our team. I mean, we lost five. We played San Jose at home with five defensemen out of our lineup. So there's no part of what we do where we predict, look forward, and say, hey, this is really important that we try hard now. You know, at no time last year did I say, don't worry about the first five games, falls, whatever happens is just for fun. We'll start playing after.
Busy time for you, of course, but seeing your ties to the East in Toronto, did you get a chance to watch the game yesterday?
No, we had a lot of family members watching the game. I'm not a big baseball follower. My wife's late father played AAA ball for the Tigers, so there's a certain allegiance there. Interestingly enough, it's on TV, and you see the highlights of it. So lots of excitement, great emotion, great energy. It's great for Canada to have a ball team playing, but I can't tell you what's going on during the game. You know, man, I understand that guy's the pitcher and the pitch count, and I listen to what they're saying, but I don't know what the manager's doing. You know, I don't know what he's thinking about. They're talking about, you know, the team's really hustling now. I can't figure out when they're really going and when they're not. It's exciting as hell. Highlights are great. It's baseball.
Awesome. Go ahead, Paul.
You'll be the last team to play a home game. How significant is beginning to establish who you're going to be at home here?
Well, we didn't do that till March, right, last year? Like we were a middling team, and then we got home and needed it to be good, and it became a very good place for us. So you want to be good at home, right? Because that's half your games. You can't be bad at home and expect to have a good season. And this is a fantastic building to play in. The energy, the shape of the building itself, the physical layout of this building. It's way more loud on the bench than it is up in the suites or even in the stands. Like, it's really loud and impactful down there, this crowd. So it's a great place to play, and the other teams. But it's a great place to play for the other teams too. Like, we just came off the road and a couple of those buildings were a little quiet. It's not as much fun to play in them. And get into Madison Square Garden and the crowd gets going, the hockey game's better. So I think the fans kind of provide an environment for both teams to play with the energy that our game is best played at. Want to be good at home. Won't answer the question after the game if we don't win tomorrow, is our home record in jeopardy? You know, it's just nobody's getting any, hey, we're 3-1 tattoos. We got some hockey here.
There's one thing that pleasantly surprised you over your start, your first four games.
Some of the creativity, how we moved the puck a little bit. We played very, very poorly in the island, but there was still a feeling and a sense we could tie this game. Didn't have that sense a lot on the bench last year. I mean, I knew they would play and scratch and claw right to the bitter end. But it was a bitter end if we didn't have the lead. You know, a lot of those nights get that sense that we can. I'm also sitting back there watching some of it going, well, we're going to have to fix that. So there's some offensive creativity here off all four lines. But my interest in playing the fourth line is far greater than the numbers would tell you from our last two games, just because we were in the box the whole night. Some depth there, some depth of offense there that I don't think I felt last year.
And what's at the top of that fix-it list?
Well, when you're capable of making the play, you have to make a decision on how many times you're not going to be successful making that play before you tell somebody you can't make that play. So the great players make the risky plays because they make them. If you're not making them, you're just a risky player. So the balance, right? Top of that. So we're not squeezing hard on nobody's coming to the bench here and dump that puck. But we're going to have to spend the year really defining what a good decision is. helping them. And at times that means not telling them. Sometimes it's figured out.